Okay, we got to think. We can do this. Think, what are some topics think, we haven't come up think. With? What are some interesting questions in theology that we have found? Like something that you were taught that you're like, that is the coolest thing.
Distinction between magic and worship.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Bites, a podcast for busy Catholics. This is Father Conrad. I have Father Chris and Father Alec with me. And today we are going to talk about the card game Magic the Gathering.
We are not going to talk about that.
Okay, we're not going to talk about the card game Magic the
Gathering. Opposite of that.
We are going to talk about something Father Chris wants to talk about, which is the difference between magic and worship.
Yes.
And so first construct the problem for us. Okay. What is the problem with this?
So basically, when somebody goes to Mass, and you have this whole ritual, and you're like, okay, you have to do certain things, or you go to a sacrament, right, baptism and everything. You have to say these certain words, and because you say certain words and you do certain actions, certain things happen.
Yeah,
and sure. So from the outside, that can look a lot like magic.
So give an example of magic, if you can.
Okay, so Harry Potter, right? You've okay. got to mm-hmm. say a certain spell.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Exactly. But you have to like say it with the right whatever intonation and everything. Yep. And you probably have to flick your wrist thingy. In a certain way, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly, right? Okay. I mean, what's the difference, right?
Sure.
This is kind of the problem.
Well, and that's like the key magic words, hocus pocus, are literally exactly. taken from the Mass. Hocus est corpus meum.
Interesting yeah. fact for yeah. all you Catholics out there.
And yeah. I mean the hokey pokey.
Yeah, is, exactly. Yeah, the
put your right hand.
That's not necessarily magical. I mean,
that's true.
But it was yeah, just more like the mocking, idea is just, mocking yeah. the math. Whatever.
Anyway, yeah, but okay. hocus pocus. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so that's the problem, and that's kind of where we get this.
So if I can like dive into the problem a little bit more,
please.
What is the problem with people conceiving of the sacraments as magic?
Like, right.
Why do we have to make a distinction? Maybe it just is magic. Who cares?
Okay. Sure. So. Ultimately, when we think of magic, what's taking place is that through certain ritual actions and words, we are getting supernatural powers to do what we want them to do. And so ultimately, the goal is power over something.
Okay.
That's accomplished through certain rituals.
Yeah. Okay. So my god of my pagan temple really digs the smell of burning lamb flesh.
Exactly.
And if I burn enough lamb flesh, he's going to be like, oh man, that guy, he just loves, he's burning so much lamb flesh for me. I'll do whatever he wants.
Yep.
I'll make his crops grow. I'll make him do this. I'll make him do that.
Right.
And that's, I'm using the god in
exactly.
a certain sense.
Sure. Possessed like a genie in a certain
sense. And that I have some way of controlling the god. Like, oh, I do this. He does that. Right.
Exactly. It's a quid pro quo almost.
Exactly. So it's a really dangerous way for us as Christians if we get in this thinking for two reasons. One is just sacramentally, right? Okay, I will go to Mass so that God can do something for
good
me,
things
right?
to me. Yeah.
Well, I mean, how many times do you hear people, especially as a priest, do you hear people say that to you like, oh, I've got to do this because I need to get on God's good side.
Exactly. And yeah. I was about to say, even in our daily lives,
sure.
right?
It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but there's still something underneath that you're like, you know.
There's this magical understanding of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Or very good pious people who like might fast or whatever. So, okay, well, I'm going to, and if I screwed up the novena, and because of that, God isn't going to answer my prayer,
I'm not
right?
going to get the thing that I need. Exactly.
Because it's this magic way of thinking. Okay. Sure. Worship, instead, is we have these rituals and everything, a certain way of speaking and a certain way of acting, because it's something that does not belong to us. We actually don't have power over it at all. It's a way of our world being lifted up into God's world rather than dragging God's world down into ours.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we say, I baptize you in the name of the sure. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We really do believe that something supernatural happens, right?
Yes.
And that is the freeing of original sin, the opening of the soul of the baptized to grace. So what is the mechanism there, or however you want to describe it? How does that work that we would describe it in a way that's not magic?
Yeah.
Oh, are you looking to me?
I was looking at you to answer. That's a great question.
The beginning is an answer, but I'm still
I think it comes down to... again, recognizing what we're doing in recognizing in the proper way. When we're entering into the sacraments. It's not an arrangement in which we are getting something by doing something as if it was a quid pro quo arrangement.
Sure,
it's
sure.
It's we are surrendering to God, and God has given us the technique and the way to surrender because he knows as human beings we need physical, corporal ways of doing that. We need to actively surrender. We can't just say, okay, that's it. And we give our lives to God in a certain sense, and then he communicates his grace to us through
that. And I would say the other, with the sacraments, it's important, like for baptism, for example, the reason that works is because it's the way that God has established to bring someone into communion with his son, right?
Sure. For our weakness, because we can't spiritually commune with him. We need to have something physical and something that is suitable to our level. And so he gives us these things. So that's why it's easy for them to turn into magic for us, because they're almost so commonplace that we think, oh, I'm not dealing with an all-powerful God who doesn't care about how many goats I burn. But
I'm doing rituals, whatever, and I'm receiving the gifts that I want. I think it's also super important to remember that the source of these graces that we are given sacramentally, they all come from the same place, which is the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. We're tapping into that treasury of the grace that God gives us. And Jesus established these sacraments. Remember, if we talk about what the definition of a sacrament, I quiz my eighth graders all the time, you know, one of the key components is they have to be instituted by Christ. Christ gives us these sacraments, and if you read Thomas Aquinas, he speaks about why are there seven, why isn't there just one, since there's one sacrament, there's one sacrifice on the cross, and it's because he wants us to have access to these different assists in our life, these different moments of grace that correspond to different parts of our lives.
But it's also, I think, the important thing with this distinction is that it's more of an interior distinction than an exterior distinction, right? I mean, somebody can baptize someone with no intention of being drawn up into God's life.
Sure.
The baptism wouldn't work if I baptized somebody with actually no intention of doing the church wanted me to do, right? Okay, fine. But
with a very minimal understanding or magical understanding.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
And again, it's God caring for our weakness.
Exactly. We can go to Mass with this understanding, or we can celebrate Mass with this understanding of, okay, I'm doing this so that God can do something for me. And even though all the externals are exactly the same, I'm not worshiping. I'm doing I'm kind of going at it like a magic act.
Yeah, well, sure. On the Liturgy Guys podcast, they talk about one view of seeing Mass is I go there to get my Jesus pill to go. And the other is that through the act of worship, I am incorporated more deeply into the mystical body of Christ. And the Mass is something objective and exterior to myself, and I go there in order to be transformed as opposed to get something out of it.
And that's such an important shift, because we have to realize where ownership of this is, right? Like, this is the fundamental distinction between magic and worship, is that in magic we seek to control supernatural power, and in worship we are always
we're giving ourselves to the disposal of this supernatural love.
We're allowing the supernatural love to affect us,
right?
According to the way that God gives us in His mercy, so that we can receive the gifts that He wants to give us.
The shout out to the Liturgy Guys podcast was not a sort of magical way of trying to get them to give a shout out to us on their podcast.
Just in case.
I was going
to
say, just
I don't know if they're listening, but
maybe
it is another reason too why we can't just change the liturgy. Can't just change the sacraments.
We can't just change any parts of the sacraments. Yeah. There's
Second Vatican Council says very specifically, not even a bishop can change it. It's the church's
form, which is why the kind of like the formulaic language and everything is so important. It's a setting apart and saying, this does not belong to the sphere of things that we have control over.
And you consider something like, you know, we celebrate Mass, we use bread and wine, and people will say, well, that's because those are staples of the human diet, right?
Right.
And that's true in most places, right? Bread and wine. But that's not why we use bread and wine.
Exactly.
We use bread and wine because the Lord instructed us to use bread and wine.
Exactly,
and there's
it's
such an important distinction, right? Like he did that for the reason that these are accessible symbols, they're easy to get, whatever. But the reason that we do it is because bread and wine are what the Lord told us to use. And so there's not, you know, this idea that, well, that's outdated now and we should use whatever, like
burgers and
like rice cakes and grape juice because it's healthier or something. Like that's, but I mean, I'm not trying to be hard on people, but it's like
it doesn't
just because something
exactly,
is more suitable nowadays, so
yeah,
to
no,
speak,
no, that's exactly
has
right.
no bearing on whether or not that's what Jesus gave us in order to be able to bring about these graces, yeah. right? It's totally received. It's yeah. never controlled.
Well, this was truly a magical gathering.
Oy vey.
Thank you so much, guys.
We're going to cut this part.
Stop.
Make it stop.
Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you, Father Chris. Thank you, Father Alec. If you'd like to listen to more great talks about magical card games and acts of worship,
go to a different podcast.
You
can,
that's right. Yeah.
You can check us out at CatholicBitesPodcast.com or you can find us on iTunes. Thank you and God bless you.